The UN is checking in on the world's poorest economies. From APM, I'm David Brancaccio with the global perspective on business and economics. Here in New York, the traffic nightmare is expected to crest today with the extra security and nearly constant motorcades that accompany the United Nations General Assembly meeting. President Obama speaks this morning. In the economic realm, a key item at the UN this week, checking up on goals for poor countries set back in the year 2000. Marketplace's Stacey Vanek-Smith reports.
This week, leaders from around the world will assess progress in reaching the so-called Millennium Development Goals. Charles Kenny is a senior fellow at the Center for Global Development.
The UN General Assembly will discuss these 8 goals and ask how much progress have we been making in areas like poverty and maternal mortality and child health and so on.
The goals are set to be met by 2015, and Kenny says a fair amount of progress has been made.
Look at the first development goal on the number of people worldwide who are living on $1.25 a day.
Back in the 90s, that was around half the population. Now it's about 1 in 5 people. Other goals, like reducing infant mortality, have been slower going, says Johanna Mendelson-Forman of American University.
We've found an analysis of this Millennium Development Goal issue that progress has been great but uneven.
The financial crash took a major toll on meeting the goals, says Forman. There's still a lot of progress to be made in areas like fighting HIV and reducing greenhouse gas emissions. In New York, I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith for Marketplace.
Checking numbers, stock index futures in the U.S. are mixed at the moment. The FT 100 index is up 5 points. Fiat owns more than half of Chrysler. The Italian company wants to buy a bunch more from the second largest Chrysler shareholder, which happens to be the United Auto Workers Union. They're arguing over money, and after a filing yesterday, it's possible the union's stake could be sold to the public through an initial public offering. Fiat doesn't like that because it wants more control over Chrysler's destiny. As the floodwaters recede in Colorado, farmers are assessing the damage. Agriculture is a $40 billion industry in that state. While floods can recharge some soil, there can also be contamination. Marketplace's David Weinberg reports.
Dr. Norm Dahlstedt teaches agricultural economics at Colorado State University. He's been touring flooded farms, most of which grow corn and hay to feed livestock. He says even if those crops survive to harvest, it may not be safe to feed them to livestock.
Basically, the wastewaters that were flowing in the river as a result of breached sewage treatment plants. Also, there was some crude oil spillage.
Brian Werner at the Northern Colorado Water Conservancy District is actually less worried about this year's crops than he is about next year's. That's because of damaged irrigation systems.
The farmers' irrigation canals and ditches and head gates where they're totally compromised.
It's unclear just how big the hit to the ag economy will be, but there is a silver lining, says Werner. Soil moisture should be much higher than usual next year. That's great for dryland farmers, those that don't use irrigation. But if irrigation and transportation infrastructure isn't repaired quickly enough, much of that perfectly moist soil will be useless. I'm David Weinberg from Marketplace.
This week, the Chinese government will open the country's first free trade zone in Shanghai. It'll be a little island of deregulation where foreign companies will be able to sell products and services without import duties or taxes. Marketplace China correspondent Rob Schmitz joins us from Shanghai to talk about this. Morning, Rob.
Good morning, David.
So doing business in China for U.S. companies has never been a cakewalk. This is designed to make it a bit easier?
Well, everyone in the foreign business community I've spoken to here is hoping it will, but there is a lot of skepticism because nobody knows the specifics of how exactly this is going to make selling your products easier in China. For example, we're hearing that China may finally end a 13-year ban on video gaming consoles by allowing them to be made and sold inside this zone. This ban has really hurt business for the U.S. gaming industry. I spoke to lawyer Greg Pilarowski about this. He represents many of these companies in China, and he wasn't too enthusiastic about the free trade zone at all.
First, it's not a complete removal of the ban. But the more important thing to put this in context is boils down to one word, piracy.
So the message, at least from this industry, is Thanks for the new free trade zone, China, but you still need to fix the same problems you've always had in order for us to get a fair shot.
You mentioned that China has a 13-year ban on video gaming consoles, a pourquoi?
Yes. Well, the official reason is that video games are morally corrupt. However, the real reason industry insiders think is because they are punishing the U.S. video gaming industry because they are so dominating and they don't want that competition.
Now, another promised feature I see in this Shanghai free trade zone is that it's supposed to allow for freer trade of the renminbi, the currency.
Right. This, too, hasn't fully been explained, but the government has always controlled the value of the renminbi, allowing it to appreciate slowly in recent years. And it appears that China may use this zone to give the global financial markets a go at determining the value of the renminbi, which is something U.S. lawmakers have been pushing China to do for years because they believe it would allow U.S. products to fairly compete with Chinese products. But I wouldn't hold my breath on this detail because China has always been very, very cautious about loosening its control on its currency for fear that it would have a broad negative impact on its economy.
Marketplace's China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz in Shanghai. Thank you.
Thanks, David.
And another idea from California that could come to a computer near you. Governor Jerry Brown has just signed a law to let young people erase their old posts from the internet beginning in 2015. Already, some people, including victims of domestic violence, can get old digital info deleted, and Twitter and Facebook already let you do that. Once you become an adult, California's law won't apply even to stuff you posted as a kid. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.